morning, and I do want to invite you to kind of scoot towards the center or scoot up, just in case we have a few who are going to be coming in a little bit later to join our worship service, so we can make a little room for them. So you wouldn't mind scooting towards the middle more so that the edges, or go ahead, we got plenty of seats right here. You got the front row right up here. You can get, you know, get the spin of the speaker right here on the front row. So come on up, come on down, however you want to do it.
I think that's because it's a black screen.
And let's see, I'll take the keyboard when it's appropriate or whatever, so I can advance.
I think it's...
And
I
so, I do want to invite my good friend, Jordan, to come up. You know, Jordan and I... We sometimes have a few conversations, and my good buddy here, Jordan, good morning, Jordan, this way. Jordan, I want to ask you, Jordan, what do I tell you sometimes, Jordan, when we're eating lunch? Yes, and I say, Jordan, you got to eat your food, right, Jordan? Why is that, Jordan? Why do we need to eat our food?
Because it will grow.
That's right. You want to, Jordan, we want to get big muscles, right? Big and strong. Can you show everybody your muscles? Yeah. And in order to get big muscles, what do you have to do, Jordan?
Eat your food.
Very good. Thank you, Jordan. Jordan and I, we have these conversations every now and then, and just like that, I say, Jordan, you want to be like Popeye, get those big muscles. But as you know, in order to grow to be big and strong, we have to eat food. But there's a step before that, you know, in order for Jordan to have that food, his mom, Jeannie, has to take the time to make the food and to cook it. And I'm the same way. You know, I want to grow to be big and strong. And I want my boys here to be big and strong. And in order to have that, I've got to cook them some food. Only problem is that I don't know how to cook. I mean, for the 20 years that I've been married, it's my wife who does all the cooking, and I don't know how to cook. So, but in this last year, I've tried to start learning how to cook, and so thank God for the internet, and so thank God for WikiHow and YouTube, and boy, in these last couple of months, I am putting out the dishes. I mean, I have cooked some catfish, and I've cooked broccoli, and cauliflower, and gailan, and steaks, and instant pot ribs, and I have cooked a few, cheeseburgers on the stove and fumigated my whole house, okay? So I'm on my way to helping my children grow to be big and strong. But, you know, not only physically, but spiritually, we want to grow big and strong. And in order to do that, we've talked about, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how we needed to set aside time, carve out time to grow big and strong in our relationship with God. But, after we have set aside some time and carved out that time, we still need to know how to pray to grow our relationship with God. And because I think that's something that we all desire, right? Is that something that you desire? Do you want to grow big and and strong buddy in your relationship with God? Well, if so, this morning, we're not going to learn from WikiHow. We're not going to learn from the internet. But we're going to learn from the master chef himself. What is the recipe to growing in our relationship with God? We're going to look at his famous model prayer in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. And it's something that maybe we have heard many times before. Maybe we've even memorized it. But he's going to tell us specifically how to pray. Now, I've never preached on this passage before, so it's really kind of fresh to me. But let's go ahead, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. How can we grow to be big and strong in our relationship with God? So turn with me there, Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus starts out in Matthew 6, and he tells us that when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. So right here at the beginning, we have the first instruction from the Lord. And he's telling us not to be as the hypocrites. This word hypocrites has this meaning of an actor or an actress, a pretender, a stage player. And the context here is prayer. But if we look in Matthew 6, we see that this has been pointed out in two other contexts. In verse 2, in the context of giving away your money or giving alms, we're not to be as the hypocrites. In verse 16, in the context of fasting, we are not to be as the hypocrites. And what is the characteristic of the hypocrites is that they do all things to be seen by men. Okay? Or in verse 2, it's to get the praise of men. In verse 16, we see that too. And we see the result. It's the same result. That's all that you're going to get. That's all the reward you're going to get. They have their reward in full. And we see that here in the context of prayer, that if that is our motive, that that's we're just going to get that reward, just to be recognized and seen by men. But on the other hand, Jesus tells us that when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So, friends, do you want to grow in your relationship with God through prayer? The first way to do so is to pray secretly. To pray secretly. Okay? Now there's nothing wrong with praying in public. Right? Anybody think there's anything wrong with praying in public? Did Jesus pray in public? Yes, he did. Right? Right before he fed the 5,000 people, he prayed in public. In 1 Timothy 2, it tells us that I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. And that context there is most likely in the church worship service. So nothing wrong with praying in public. But what is the issue here? The issue is the motive, right? And is our motive to be seen, to be seen by men, or is it the motive to be seen by our Father? And so let that be your motive, to be seen, right? You don't want your motive in prayer or anything you do just to be seen by men. You know, we just want to be be seen. No, no. What? We want to be seen by God in prayer. And so let that be our motive, whether it's secret prayer or public prayer. Now, I don't think most of us have this problem where we want to demonstrate our righteousness to be seen by others. I mean, most of us come from a kind of an Asian background. And, you know, we're a little more conservative, a little keep things close, private. You know, we don't like to flaunt our goods in front of others, flaunt our achievements, flaunt our, you know, whatever, our strengths in front of others. So I don't think that most of us, you know, have that problem. But I do want to emphasize that there are benefits to praying secretly, praying in solitude, just so that we can have that undivided time with God and to be not distracted by anything, but to be focused on Him. So there is application, even for us as people who like to, you know, be kind of humble, to be praying in solitude. And so I'm very encouraged when I know and I that my family or you guys are pulling away and you're pulling away and you're taking time and you're sitting and you're spending quiet time with the Lord in prayer. And so I want to encourage you to continue doing that. So how do we grow big and strong in our relationship? Pray secretly. But moving on, verse 7 tells us that when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. How do we grow in our relationship with God? We want to pray secretly, but we also want to pray sincerely. Pray sincerely, not to use meaningless words and mindless words as we're praying to God. Now, once again, there's nothing wrong with persistence or repetition in prayer. In fact, Jesus did that, right? In the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed 3 times that this cup would pass before Him. Paul, when he had that thorn in his flesh, remember that? It tells us in 2 Corinthians that he prayed 3 times that it would be taken away. And when Jesus was choosing His disciples, as we learned last week, how long did Jesus pray? The whole night, right? So nothing wrong with persistence, repetition in prayer, and length of prayer. In fact, there's a lot of benefits to the more time you pray, the stronger you will grow. But what we probably have in mind here is like the prophets of Baal back with Elijah. And it tells us that that time, from morning till noon, you know, probably 3 hours, they just kept praying this, "Oh, Baal, answer us." You know, and they're dancing around and just chanting. It probably has that in mind. Or something like in Acts 19:34, where they were worshiping the goddess Artemis. And for 2 hours, all they're crying, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" You know, just chanting this, okay? So friends, let us not be mindless or repetitious, but to pray sincerely, okay? Pray sincerely. And so sometimes we may get a little rote in our prayers, right? I mean, sometimes, you know, how do you pray right before your meal? "Dear God, thank you for this food. Amen." You know, day after day, meal after meal. "Dear God, thank you for this food. Amen." You know, so, and I was glad to hear from another young family that in order to have something else besides just the constant, you know, maybe it's getting a little meaningless, that they went through and encouraged their family to pray along the acts. You know, that you guys know what the acts is? Adoration, right? Confession. So just to give a little more sense that, yeah, we're going to try to have some meaningfulness in our prayers. So friends, as we try to grow to be big and strong in the Lord, in our relationship with Him, let us pray with authenticity. Pray secretly and pray sincerely. And now, as we go into the Lord's actual prayer, we're going to unpack a little bit of that act. We're going to miss a little bit of the T, just because it's not in there as much. But let's get right into that. So you guys probably all know most of this. In verse 9, the Lord Jesus, He's going to tell us, He says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So these first two verses is going to be focused on God, focused on the Lord. And right here in verse 9, He's saying, our Father. So we are putting our focus on the Lord. And so as we seek to know how to pray, pray with adoration, right? The first A in Acts, or ascribing to God who He is. And right here, Jesus, He calls God our Father. And so it connotes that sense of relationship, of care, of provider, protector. Now, many of us have fathers who are like that, but maybe you do not. And so it's hard to think of God as your Father. If that is your situation, think of some other person that you respect. And God is that. He is the caring, providing, protecting Father. He's near to us. But He's also higher than us. He's our Father in heaven. And so He's both close, but He is powerful. And He's both imminent, but He's also transcendent. And we see that as well in hallowed be your name. That literally, that can be translated, sanctify your name. Now, not that God has to become more holy or more sanctified, but what needs to become more holy? Our view or our image of God. And so that's what we're doing. We're ascribing to God who He is, both His love and His care, but also His power. And so, as we think of God and as we approach Him, let us do so in both ways. So we can approach God as a friend, right? It tells us in John 15 that Jesus is our friend, but He's also our King, okay? And so we can pray to God as we're driving in the car. Anyone ever pray when you're driving or riding in the car? Yeah, because we can have that friendship relationship. But, we also want to have that exalted and respected and reverential relationship. I mean, if the President of the United States were to call you and want to have a conversation with you, how many of you would talk to him while you're driving on I-10. Okay, maybe for different reasons, right? But no, you might not think that was very respectful, right? To talk to the President of the United States while you're driving down Westheimer Parkway, right? Now, some of you say, oh, I would, because I don't really respect that president. But no, that's not what I'm talking about, right? No, you might pull up, oh, well, I got the President of the United States talking to me. I'm going to pull over into the Kroger parking lot and take this call, right? So we kind of need to have both going on. Both that, yes, God is close. He's love. But He's also exalted and high. And so, again, I know we talked this with a lot of my buddies back in seminary and even some of my friends now. They say, the best time for me to pray is when I'm, sitting on the, you know what I'm talking about, right? Sitting on the can. And I had some Asian friends back in seminary, and Beck said, you know, wait, I just can't handle that. I mean, I got my seminary classmate, they told me, you know, they're having their quiet time on the can. That is just so disrespectful, okay? Well, you know, so you each man has to decide with conscience before the Lord what is right. Yeah, I was just thinking the other day, well, you know, I've actually said some pretty mighty prayers sometimes in my past, sitting on the gate, I said, Lord help me, I mean, I've got a big old stomach, I said, Lord help me, you know, so, you know, we have to kind of have to think about that a little bit, but our first, as we're trying to learn how to pray, let us pray with adoration, okay, ascribing to God His love, His care. And so but also His great power. So let's just take 10 seconds right now, right where you are, and not thanking God for who He is, but praising Him for who He is. Would you just do that right now? Praise Him for His great love, praise Him for His great power, for both sides of who God is. Now, moving on into verse 10. We continue with the focus on God. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as we talk about the kingdom, we're probably talking about when Jesus returns to literally be the king of the earth and stamp out all unrighteousness and rule in perfect righteousness. And so we can pray. We do pray, Lord, come quickly. And because we want the full presence of Jesus, that's what we want. In fact, we want that more than any relationship or anything in this life. We want Jesus to come and establish His kingdom. However, it's not only that we're praying for the future. We also want to pray for today, for Thy will to be done today. And for His will to be done, we're talking about His righteous demands. We're talking about His plans, His purposes, today and right now. And so I want to encourage us to, how do we grow in our relationship with God? To pray biblically. To pray according to the will of God, that it would happen, that it would be lived out right now, today. And so, a couple of weeks ago, I encouraged you guys to find a life verse for your main occupation in life, whether it's at school or work or at home. And anybody do that homework? Find your life verse? Yeah, thank you. And so, what you can pray is that will of God, that Bible verse, will be lived out at your home, at your school, at your work, wherever you're spending most of your time. And so I suggested that, you know, a verse that you can have as you go to work or school can be to be salt and light. And so as you go to school for Thy will to be done, pray that the Bible would be lived out in your life and in your friends' lives. You know, Brett, God, help me to be salt and light today. When I go to Ties Junior High, when I go to Seven Lakes High School, when I go work, help me to be salt and light. Help me to make disciples at my oil company, in my home, in my neighborhood. You know, God, I'm supposed to be growing. Help me to grow today as I'm at Tompkins. You know, as Lord, I'm supposed to be doing my work heartily. So help Your will to be lived out today at your school, wherever you're at. It's also a great time to pray for God's will to be done in the Great Commission throughout the earth. We can pray for our missionaries. How many of you know this is one of our church missionaries? Miha. Does anybody know? Who knows? Well, now you do. Great, now you do know. Miha, she was serving in Asia with Muslims, but she had to leave her country, and now she's back in Romania. Isn't that great? God is sending out people from Romania to preach the gospel to Muslims. And so she just, we just received her prayer letter, and we can just pray for her, to for her new adjustment into Bucharest and finding a good church and fellowship. We can pray for God's will to be done today. And so let's take a minute. Let's take a few seconds right now and pray biblically. Will you pray right now for yourself that God's will be done at your school, at your work, at your home? We can pray for Miha. Just take a minute right now and do that. Now we shift to praying for us, praying for me. In verse 11, he tells us, give us this day our daily bread. And so we're praying for blessings for ourselves, right? This is how we commonly pray. We pray right before our meals. But back in Jesus' day, there was a greater sense of dependence upon God for your everyday food, because you got paid daily. The common worker got paid daily as opposed to every 2 weeks or every month. So you were living from day to day, not month to month. Now, I think most of us don't have that sense of dependence because God has blessed us and we're pretty affluent. In fact, is anyone ever, who in here is concerned that you won't have any food today? Okay, one more one person think they might go starving. How about tomorrow? You think you might not have food tomorrow. Anybody? How about this week? You're not sure if you're going to have enough food for this week. How about the month? The month ahead? Okay. Yeah, you get my point. Most of us, God has blessed us, but we're not concerned we're going to be hungry for the next month or 3 months. But I think it's good for us to have that sense of every day we are dependent upon the Lord for sustenance. And so just pray. Go ahead and pray for God to give you strength as you study at your elementary school or your junior high or your high school or at your work. Because you do want God to provide through your work as you prepare to earn your keep and your food. And then as we move on, we want to pray for blessings. We're praying biblically, we're praying for blessings, we're praying for physical blessings, but also we're praying for spiritual blessings. In verse 12, it moves on and says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So this forgiving us of our debts, it's something that we owe, or we owe to God, and God cancels it. But this is not a judicial kind of forgiveness. This is more of a family forgiveness. Because once we believe in Jesus, all our debts are canceled. All our sins are forgiven. Past, present, and future. So legally and judicially, we are completely forgiven. But from a family standpoint and the quality of our relationship with God, we need to keep confessing our sins so that our fellowship is of quality. And then, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why would we pray for God not to lead us into temptation? You know, it says in James that God does not tempt anyone. So how can that even be that God might lead us into temptation? How can that be? I mean, is he going to, you know, put me in front of a big chocolate bar and test, you know, see if I eat it? It has to do with this word temptation. It can also be translated with the sense of testing. And so God does test us, like Jesus was led into the wilderness for what? For testing by the Spirit of God. And so this prayer has more of a sense of, God, don't put me in these circumstances that will be too much for me and result in me sinning. Okay? This word testing, it has that double-edged nuance of testing and temptation. Just like in James 1:2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials or testing, knowing that the testing of your faith. See, we don't translate it. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter various temptations, knowing that the tempting of your faith, right? So it kind of has that nuance. And so that's what our prayer is. Lord, minimize those occasions which might result in sin, okay? And on the other hand, when I am in those situations, give me holiness. Help me to obey you, right? Deliver us from evil. And so right now, I'd like you to think about what are those situations, what are those circumstances where you might be tempted to sin? Is it when you're having a conflict with someone, you might be tempted to take revenge? Is it a financial issue where you might have a love of money? Is it a lust issue where you might be indulged in lust or jealousy? And if you have, go ahead and confess that to God, that, God, I've sinned against you, and forgive me for that sin. Last Saturday night, I went to the Astros game, and we got some free tickets. But I tell you, they really were nosebleed tickets. I mean, we were second from the very top row, and to get to our seats, we had to kind of duck under the AC kind of rafting so we didn't hit our heads. But you know, in order to save a little money, I was planning to buy some sandwiches before, because they let you take in food to the ballpark. Because you know those prices at the ballpark, they're skyrocket prices. Well, the shop was closed, so I didn't pick up the sandwich. And Gabriel and I said, well, we had a big lunch. We're just going to hold it out. But we got to the ballpark, and it was 8 o'clock, and Gabriel says, you know, I'm a little hungry. And so being the fatherly figure that I am, I said, okay, I got to provide for my son. So I said, Gabriel, what do you want? Let's eat some hot dogs. So I go and I buy the hot dog, and I see that the single hot dog is like $6.25. Okay? But the foot-long hot dog is $8. And so being the good Chinese that I am, I say, I'm going to go buy the foot-long hot dog. We're going to cut it in half. And, he's going to eat 6 inches. I'm going to eat 6 inches. Well, I do all this stuff and then type it in. It's all, it's all computerized. And the ticket comes out. The ticket doesn't come out. And I'm supposed to go. And I say, hey, look, the ticket didn't come out. I'm supposed to go show the cashier. Okay, that's okay. Just tell her your ticket number. And, she'll give you your food. So I go up to the cashier and say, hey, look, my ticket number 459, I got a foot-long hot dog, but the printer is broken. So they said, just tell your ticket number 459, can you give me my foot-long hot dog? Okay, it's not showing up here. It's not showing up here. They said the printer's broken, so just give me the, Okay, but, all right. Oh, okay, that's okay. I'll just get you. What did you say? You want 4 hot dogs? And at that moment, I was thinking, she's not going to know. If I said, yeah, 4 hot dogs, 4 hot dogs. But, praise the Lord, God did not lead me into temptation more than I could bear. And I said, no, it's a foot long. So friends, as we face as we face those temptations, pray that God won't lead you into those situations. I mean, just yesterday, I got a Victoria's Secret mailing in the mail. Okay, you guys don't know what Victoria's Secret is. Ask your mommy and daddy. But at that moment, I had to kind of, you know... And I did kind of look at both sides of the mail. I was kind of like this. But I had a choice. Am I gonna keep this mailing? It wasn't addressed to our family, by the way. It was the previous owner, okay? And quickly, I had to decide to just put it in that recycle bin. Okay? Now, you might be in a different, you might be in a conflict, you might feel like someone has wronged you, and you are tempted to just take revenge on that person and not forgive that person, but pray that God won't lead you into those situations. Pray that God will deliver you when you're in those situations. We're praying for spiritual blessings, and maybe a specific application is, are you tempted to take revenge on someone? Because you're in a conflict. Someone has hurt you. Someone has wronged you. Well, don't be delivered from evil. Because remember, he closes this by saying, if you forgive others, God will forgive you. It's that family forgiveness still that I think. If you don't forgive others, then it's going to affect your relationship with God, right? Like 1 Peter 3 tells us that. If I don't understand my wife, God's not going to hear my prayers. So pray. Pray with friends. How do we grow our relationship with God? Authenticity, adoration. Pray biblically. And pray for blessings, both physical blessings and spiritual blessings. That's how we have a recipe to grow our relationship with God. Friends, you know, some of the best times that I have with my wife is when we're on our date. And praise the Lord, for the last 5 years since we've moved to Katy, almost every Monday morning, we're able to have a date at Chick-fil-A, Starbucks, whatever, just in the morning, you know, all the kids are at school, and it's a time where I can be very open with my wife, she can be very open with me, we talk, we don't praise one another as much as we should, you know, hey, honey, you're looking really beautiful this morning, hey, husband, you're so big and strong, and you're such a great, you know, you're such a great, strong leader. I really adore you, honey. You know, we should probably do that some more, but I can't say that we do that a whole lot. You know, we're kind of Chinese, you know, we don't like to do that. But, you know, if there's problems, we can work it out. We can apologize. And I've found out, I've discovered that it's on those dates, maybe she feels the same thing too, that if I have really something that I want to request, that is the best time to do it. It's not, you know, 10 o'clock at night, or but it's when after I've told her how wonderful she is, and she knows she feels loved, and I feel respected, then I can say, hey, honey, you know, there's that men's social with the Astros game on Friday night. Do you think I can go hang out with the guys? That is the time to put my request before the throne. And maybe you feel like that too, friends. It's helped. It's been a seedbed for my relationship with my wife. Friends, you want to grow in your relationship with God? Do the same thing. Have that time where you're alone with the Lord. You can speak openly. You can hear openly from Him. You can clear up any problems in the past. And you can make your requests known for spiritual, physical blessings and His will to be done on earth. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we have a relationship with you. And Lord, please help us to grow in it. Help us to grow in it through prayer, both talking to you, listening to you. Help us, Lord, to pray authentically, to pray with adoration, to pray biblically, and to pray for your will, your blessings to be done in our lives as well and through us. We pray in Jesus' name.
This one? Yeah.